Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 36. I mean, 57. I'm sorry. I had 56 last night, 57 today. Sorry. Episode number 57 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Big T, right here along with you. And we got a very special guest for you guys today. I know on, Wednesday night, we had our first ever female guest, Miss Gemma Cross. And today, this early evening on Friday, we got another female guest here for you this evening, and we got Miss Tess Valentine along with us. How you doing, Tess?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
I'm glad you guys are having me.
Oh, more than happy to have you here. Now, let's start off the interview with telling the audience a little bit about your early days.
Go ahead.
How, approximately about how old were you when, you know, you first saw pro wrestling on TV and you fell in love with pro wrestling and you thought to yourself, at a young age, like, you know what? Gee, this is it. This is, the profession I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to be a pro wrestler.
I remember watching it at a young age. Never, in all honesty, they're like, this is going to be my profession the rest of my life. This is exactly what I want to do. I admired how athletic they were, and I had older brothers who always made me watch it. So we all sat down and watched it, but it wasn't until probably in my early 20s that I really started admiring this trait. And I was like, I think that this is something I really want to pursue and I'm passionate about. And then that's when I fully pursued it.
Oh, okay. Now, I'll tell you, pro wrestling can be a very, you know, it's a very special business. And you know, for you to pursue it, you know, when you finally decided to pursue it, how did you go about it, you know, to get in the business?
I had friends, the Wild Cards, they always asked me to come train and look into wrestling, and they asked me for years, and I would turn them down and turn them down, and then finally I came to a training session, and I just watched it, and I fell in love. It was in my local area at the time, so it was easy just to go there and train. And we would train sometimes 2 times a week, and the rest was history.
Oh, wow. Who was your trainer?
I've had various trainers, but starting out, I was part of Team Page. So the Wild Man, Robbie Page, was my trainer. And also Jason Raddick from the Wild Cards, and of course, Eddie Page. And I actually get trained also now by Jake the Machine Davis. And he got trained at House of Pain. So I have a pretty good group of guys that always have my best interest at heart and help send me new things. And they're all from different time eras too, which helps a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that definitely helps. Now, do you have any advice, like say, you know, for any of the young ladies that might be listening to us right now, do you have any advice for any young ladies that are aspiring to be pro wrestlers as far as when it comes to the training?
Definitely train first. You will develop your look and a gimmick and personality along the way. You have to remember in this sport that you're an athlete first and take your training seriously. If it's something you're going to do, fully do it. Don't just in with the little basics you know and try to go out there and take on the world, because eventually you're going to have to backtrack, and it's just great to take a step in there and listen what the people have to say and just try to be the best you can every day.
Well, what was it like taking bumps for the first time when you got into training?
Oh my goodness. So originally I did a bunch of ground work. I didn't run the rope to take a bump to probably a month in to my training, and it was before show. I helped set up and we were all in the ring, and they're like, let's try running the rope. So the ropes were super tight, I ran the ropes and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. It was literally like someone hitting me in the back with a piece of plywood. Ooh. I was like, I'm tough, but I don't know if I can handle this. And then they're like, all right, let's take a bump. So I took a bump and instantly knocked the wind out of me. And I was like, man, maybe I'm not cut out for this. And then if I could look back on that day now, I would think that it was all worth it. But in that moment right there, I was really debating. I was like, I don't know if I'm tough enough for this. Definitely something that you remember forever, the first time you're in the ring, and you definitely have bruises for weeks after to remind you of it.
Oh, I could imagine. You know, I've been in a ring, you know, before, like at wrestling events when you get to take pictures with, you know, superstars in the ring, you know, at some points. And I'll tell you, I stepped in a ring and I felt those ropes, and those ropes are hard. You know.
Oh yeah.
You would think that, you know, just looking at the ropes, you would think that, you know, it's just regular rope. It can't be, you know, that hard or that tough. It's got to have some give, but, I'll tell you, those ropes that they use, it would have to hurt going into those.
Oh yeah. I definitely have bruises across my back for the first couple weeks I was running the ropes because it was just a whole nother level.
Once you got used to it and you got going, did it just turn into basically like another day at the office when you would go training?
Oh, yes, for the most part. I know if I take time off, like not at least getting in the ring once a week now, besides doing shows on the weekends, I can tell the difference. If I train once or twice a week, I don't hurt nearly as bad as if I go in there and just train one day a week. Like your body just gets used to what you're doing to it.
Yeah.
So it comes easier with time.
Now, when you finally go through all this training, you earn your stripes and, you know, you finally get that, you get the call, you know, you get the word from your trainers, you know, hey, we're going to put you in your first match. And what was it like for you when you first got booked in a match? Like when you walked that aisle for the first time and you got into the ring and you got the feel of the crowd and you competed in your first match. Like, did all your past memories of everything like kind of flash in front of you? And was it like, wow, you know, the hard work finally paid off? What was it like going through the motions of your first match?
My first match was a tag match with my trainer and of course Casey Carlisle and Ben Stega. So I just remember going to the curtain and I was like, Tessa, don't trip. Because I trip all the time. I am so clumsy. You would never expect it, but I was like, I'm going to fall. And then I go to get in the ring and I am this fall getting into the ring. And then the whole entire time you're like, oh, this has got to get easier. And then like the crowd gets behind you and once it's all said and done and you go out there and do what you practice all the time, it just becomes second nature. But the first time I didn't trip, I didn't fall my face too hard, I guess. But it was all worth it. And then that night I did get certified also by my trainer. So it was a great, overwhelming feeling. And all the people that are around you throughout your training that support you were also like super supportive and backed me when he did certify me. So that was a good feeling.
That is awesome. How long have you been in the pro wrestling business as of now?
Probably coming in 2 or 3 years. I trained almost a whole year before I actually got in the ring and they kind of forced me, like, you gotta sink or swim, like, cause I was convinced I wasn't ready and they were like, well, you never know until you try. So, but probably almost 3 years.
Oh, so you got a good few years under your belt. How has it been, you know, considering from when you first started, you know, to today? How's it been building? Can you feel the change, you know, like as far as like what you learn and the moves that you execute and the matches that you have, like, Does it change over the years going through this?
Oh, definitely. Of course, like, every single person starts turning, you want to do the cool stuff. So that's naturally what you always want to go for, because you think the cooler things you do, the more the fans are going to like it. But that's not how it works. I've learned to work smarter, not harder. Everybody has a bump card that they take bumps and you're never going to get that bump back. So I try to plan matches on what I can do to build the crowd. If I have a match and the crowd's not into it, I change it on the spot. It just becomes, second nature now to feed off the crowd. And it probably didn't take until maybe a couple months ago till I legitimately, like, people are like, it just clicks one day. You get out there, you work a match, and it just clicks for you. And that probably didn't happen to me until a couple months ago. So now it's fun. It's always anxious and you're nervous, but now it's fun. It's fun doing what I love with people that love doing it as well.
That's great. You know, at least you're having fun when you go out there and you don't have to stress. You know how to control the crowd. Which, you know, that's gotta be, I can imagine controlling the crowd. It's gotta be a fun thing, but also.
It's nail biting.
Yeah. Like you gotta be on, you know, your toes all the time. Like, oh, I hope I do this right. Or I hope they're gonna like it. That, you know, once you get them in the palm of their hand, you know, in the palm of your hand and, you know, they start liking it and loving what you're doing. It's probably a huge stress relief at that point.
Oh yeah, so at that point it's just fun. You're not like, oh, they're not biting at it, or oh, they didn't get it, so you have to go back and try to find another way to appeal to them. Once they're like involved, it's a whole another level.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, you know, you know what you're doing in there, and you know how to engage the crowd. And I want to go back and I want to talk about, you know, when you got started and you got going into this, what have been some of your favorite feuds and favorite matches, you know, that you've had? If you could tell us stories of some of your greatest memories that you have in the business so far.
You always remember your first title belt you win. You always remember your first title belt defense. And my home side where I'm currently the women's champion at is Elite Pro Wrestling Alliance. They run shows across West Virginia. But I had feuded with Casey Carlisle and she kind of took me under her wing for the first in this year up and down the East Coast. We got booked at different shows and she showed me the ropes. And I remember the first title match where I was in a triple threat match with Amber O'Neill, Casey Carlisle, and me, and it was a whole nother level. And then when you actually, like, win a belt for the first time, you don't know if you want to cry or just, like, it's just a great accomplishment. You don't expect ever having a moment like that in your life. It's right there it was that it presented itself. And then I'd have to say, also, I defended my belt in a cage match. I've only been in one cage match, and that was with Casey Carlisle. And there was a part where a gorilla pressed her off the side, and she had fell through the cage. And she was stuck. Like, the ref had to come over and help pull her out of the cage, and I couldn't believe it was happening, and I mean, you're already in a cage match. Two women in a cage match, you don't see that as often. I mean, it's becoming a newer thing now, but you don't see it often. And, I mean, I believe her work ethic and mine speak for themselves. So for both of us to be in a cage match, it was a whole other world. So I remember that moment where I climbed off and, like, pretty much just let off the cage and fell to the ground and retained my belt. That was one of the hardest working cage matches ever. And then I was also I'm currently in a feud at Pro Wrestling Empire against Vanity. And let's just say I've never been pinned at Pro Wrestling Empire. And me and Maria Manis have a 1-on-1 contenders match coming up. And I'm prepared to bring my A game. She's already stolen the title belt from me. I hit Luz Fisto with my move, and she threw me out of the ring and took the pin. So I'm excited to see where that goes. I've had a couple matches with Zayn, but for the most part, my favorite, absolute favorite matches have to be with Casey Carlisle, the Cage one, the 2 out of 3 falls, triple threat. And then I've been recently working Jordynne Grace, and anytime I'm in the ring with her, it's magic. So there's just so many moments, but as I develop my career, I keep finding more and more to add to the belt. So.
And you know what? Definitely sounds like some great matches. And I gotta tell you, you threw a name out at me that I've heard going around a lot when it comes to women's wrestling, and that's Maria Manic. For you to be in a match with her coming up, that's a big match for you. You know, you're in a good spot. That's a big match for you. I mean, I could be wrong, because you know, I don't, you know, like I only watch my local indie wrestling, but correct me if I'm wrong, because I would love to travel around and see all the different indie shows. I haven't got to doing that yet, but correct me if I'm wrong. I've heard Maria Manic going around. Is she like a big up and comer in the indie scene? Because I've heard her name going around quite a bit lately.
She's definitely a big up and comer in the indie scene. You can definitely see her progression as she works more matches. But she's definitely a name. People know her. She's the East Coast Barbie. So that's how people know her, so.
And now you gotta get in the ring and you gotta beat her, right?
Her and I have stepped in the ring before one other time at PPW. So her and I are no stranger to each other.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like renewing a feud that you guys have had before.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I wish you the best of luck in that match coming up, and I hope you can get
Thank
the victory.
You. We'll see.
Now I want to talk to you about something that, you know, that I asked my last female guest, Gemma Cross, that I had on the show, because you know, like all of the guests that I've had, and you know, it just happened to happen this way. All of the guests that I've had, like throughout my first 55 episodes, and then, you know, now I'm on 57, but Gemma got on episode 55. Throughout my first 55 episodes, to the point Gemma came on, all of my guests were male pro wrestlers. I never, you know, had a female accept the invitation to come on the show. And,
right.
You know, I've had male superstars come on here, like former ECW legend Jason Knight, the Patriot Del Wilkes, Buff Bagwell. So, I mean, I've had, you know, very, very notable people come through here, and I've never had the invitation accepted from a female superstar. So when Gemma came on, I asked her this question for the first time, and I want to ask it to you to see what your point of view is, and, you know, from this standpoint, because this is a question you can really only ask a female superstar. Now,
right.
I know back in the day, you know, when WWE was WWF and they had the Attitude Era and all that stuff going on when wrestling was at its peak, that's when the women's matches, you know, weren't really getting, you know, that much attention. The women were looked at, I guess, more as, show pieces. You know, they would get put out there and they'd be put in a bra and panties match, or, you know, paddle on a pole match, lingerie match, or even on Thanksgiving, a gravy bowl match. Christmas, they would have, they would have like an eggnog match. They'd fill up a pool with eggnog and the women would go at it in there. And just seeing how it's transitioned back up until, I believe it was 2014 or somewhere, when the tweet went out by the fans, when AJ Lee tweeted out, "Give Divas a chance." Then it, you know, it just caught fire. you know, give divas a chance because they've been under the slogan as divas for so long. And,
right.
You know, the whole thing is even up to a few years ago, even though they stopped all the bra and panties matches and that stuff, they still weren't giving the women an opportunity to showcase their talent and, you know, really shine. They were only giving them 2-minute matches, 3-minute matches. And now with this whole women's revolution that we're seeing in WWE, and I'm sure it's even happening in the indies, this whole women's revolution, how does that make you feel? You know, being a female performer in the wrestling business, seeing where women's wrestling was to what it has evolved into in the present day. I'd love to get your view on that.
I should say I better always bring my A game now, because women's wrestling is definitely not a joke, and it's not something to mess with. I think the movement has pushed tons of women athletes to the breaking point, if not further, and now women's wrestling in itself is a huge competitive field of outstanding women that put in the time and effort, and for once, everyone's actually given a chance, and it's a great feeling in a way. It's validating. Like, after the match, it's not, wow, you guys did this. That was outstanding. Like, there's men that don't put matches together like that. Or you hear, you know, even though you guys are a ladies' match, that's easily the match of the night. And that's an outstanding feeling, because it's not, we're a ladies' match, we're comparable to the men, and we're sometimes pulling away their Sundays because we work that much harder. So, I mean, it's a great feeling. You can't let your guard down. You can't slack off, because it's booming and it's not going to stop. It's just only going to get harder to get where you need to be. But it's definitely good.
I got to tell you, I love it, and it makes me feel proud to be a wrestling fan, you know, just to know that the women are finally getting treated like the men. You know, they can,
right. They
can compete in matches, you know, just as good as the men, if not better at times. You can see them in a cage match now. I mean, we even saw Charlotte and Sasha Banks inside Hell in a Cell, you know?
Yeah.
It goes to show you how far it's come, and, you know, to be a woman in the sport of wrestling today, I would imagine it's gotta feel really, really good, because, I feel bad for women back in the day. They were getting the short end of the stick.
Right. I mean, like, it's extremely validating, but like I said, it's such a booming thing right now that women are being taken serious, and the art of women's wrestling has blossomed into more than just, hey, we all look pretty, but look, we can actually do legit things too. So that's what goes hand in hand with an outstanding women wrestler, and that's what most of the women are working for in the indies right now, and even with WWE. So it's a good feeling. And NXT for that matter.
And there's even, there's even shows, on at least my local indie promotion, you know, has a show once a year. It's AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling. They have Girls Night Out every single year, where it's a show just with all the women. And
That's something I'm hoping to get to someday. So I'm putting that little bird in someone's ear. Hey, I want to come to Girls Night Out.
Hey, if you make it out there, you let me know, because I'm going to have to come down and pay you a visit, because I'm usually down at the AIW show. So if you ever get booked down there for Girls Night Out next year in 2018, you give me a shout out.
Sounds like a plan.
But I want to continue with you here. And, before I get to, your future, so to speak, and what, you know, the future brings for you, I'm going to save that for the end. But what I really want to get to now, I want to do a little bit of, what do you call it? Kind of like fantasy questions here, you know, like what if, or, you know, who's, you know, your ideal of a dream match. I want to ask you, this first question is basically a two-parter, depending on how you answer. You know, if it's someone, you know, if you answer someone that's even competing, you know, still today, then you'll answer it in the first shot. But follow me here with what I'm going to ask you. as far as your ultimate dream match, now this one could be, you know, a woman alive, retired, or passed on. Your ultimate dream match that you could have, and also with a woman in any promotion in the world, this qualifies with two. Ultimate dream match you could have with any woman ever that has ever laced up the boots, who would it be against? And then the second part of the question is, if you could choose any woman on an active roster for any promotion in the world to wrestle, what match would that be for you?
So the first part is going to have to be a tie. It's going to have to be Victoria and Molly Holly, hands down, two great women that just brought it. They were beautiful in their own different ways. And if Molly Holly was in this generation today working in the indies, she would make the biggest splash ever. She's an example of what every woman worker should want to be or aspire to be. And Victoria, oh my goodness. That would be an outstanding match. Just great worker, great work ethic. All of the matches were entertaining, great charisma. So it has to be tied between them two for my match. I can't pick which one. And as for active women workers or women workers, I've went in, Mickie James. I wrestled her before, and that was my first name that I've ever worked. And I mean, it's a learning experience, but I was not happy with the match as much as I wanted it to be. And I would give any opportunity to have another chance to go in there knowing what I've learned to actually go in there and work a match with her and pretty much make magic, because I heard some stuff. So I think that we could really, I know now that I didn't know then type thing.
And you know what? I'd love to see that match, to be honest with you. You know, if Mickey ever gets back, you know, to the indie scene, or hey, if you even end up going up to WWE, you know, hopefully you guys can tangle it up once again sometime down the road. I'd like to see it.
That was very validating to redeem myself.
I can imagine how that was, taking her on for the first time. You know, it had to be quite the feeling. But you know what? You gotta look at it as, even though you weren't really happy with the match, and you know, hopefully, yes, you do get your other opportunity, but even though you weren't that happy with the match, you know, you still got to get in the ring with her. I'm sure you still got to learn a lot of stuff, and that's definitely one positive that you took away from right. That, I'm sure.
Definitely, that's for sure.
Now I'm gonna move on to, you know, something I always have a little bit of fun with here. And, I want to ask you, you know, with where you're at, you know, right now, you know, this is more like something, you know, way down the line, not even like in the near future, but, or this may be something, you know, who knows if it's near in the future, far in the future, but it's something I always ask everybody that I have on, because I'm interested to know, with all the promotions around, you know, you got, you know, New Japan, you got TNA, you got WWE. I mean, usually everybody that I talk to, or most people, I shouldn't say everybody, but most people that I talk to, their main goal is, you know, to hopefully get into WWE one day and, you know, do work down there. Now I'm going to pose the question over to you. You know, what is your main goal in the pro wrestling business that you want out of all this hard work that you're putting in right now? Would you like to, you know, work in WWE? Is that the main goal, or do you have another promotion that's a main goal of yours? What is the main achievement out of all this?
Of course, everyone's main achievement is going to want to be in WWE. But I mean, of course, that's what everyone, of course, that's what I would love, but I would love to travel if I could go to New Japan and just travel and get the experience, the knowledge, just situations I've never been put in before. No matter what new Fed or Federation or anything I'm in, organization, it's all going to be a learning experience. As long as I get to add new areas to my big map I have and new areas I travel, my places, just the experience overall, I would give up anything for that. So just travel, see the world, and get to do what I love.
Now that
I'm totally okay with that.
That's one of the main things, you know, that that consists of the business is traveling and getting to learn things. And you know, it's fun, you know, I'm sure it's gotta be fun, you know, to get out there and, you know, experience all the different things. I've heard from many different people that places they travel to, they love Japan. That Japan just has such a, such a culture about it. And, you know, what the way that their wrestling is, you know, all the stuff they learn from there. I've heard that Japan is an incredible place.
That would be amazing. Hopefully one day. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, you know what? As long as you keep putting in the hard work and, you know, all the hard determination, the hard work, I think you'll be able to make it. No problem. I want
to...
Now I want to ask you, since we're, you know, winding down to the end a little bit here, I want to ask you about, you know, because now we just talked about what the main goal is, you answered that, but now where you are present day with what you got coming up, what does the future hold for Tess Valentine? You know, what are some plans that you got down the road, and what are you hoping to get out of the rest of 2017 and then going beyond into 2018?
I know tomorrow for Rogue Women's Wrestling, I'll be doing a seminar with Jazz, so I'm pretty excited about that opportunity. Also, for the first time ever, I'm being flown somewhere, so a pretty cool experience, and I'll be wrestling, I think, 4 days in a row, just traveling different areas, working shows. That's a big opportunity. I'm excited about that. I've reached out to a couple of new places. I'm in a women's tournament, the Fire Tournament, and there's a lot of great indie women wrestlers' names in there, so I'm looking forward to that. Just fill my calendar and have different areas. There's so many new promotions I've already added this year that it's unbelievable. Almost every single Saturday I'm wrestling on top of a full-time job, so I'm definitely pretty busy, but it's all been worth it. I've already have numbers of matches this year that like top last year, so I'm just excited to gain experience and go further, travel more, and see where this takes me. And moving on to next year, I definitely want to be in Japan. That's a big goal. I'm going to work everything to get to Japan.
Do you have a, now for Japan, when you get down there, because I have a feeling you're going to make it down there. You sound incredibly determined to get to Japan. So I'm already feeling like you're going to get there just by the way you talk about it and your determination with it. Now, besides the, you know, learning all the things in Japan and, you know, getting to work on your craft more in Japan, is there like a specific, woman in Japan that you'd like to face?
Ooh, that's tough. I know Nyla Rose is currently over there, I believe, and I missed my opportunity with her because of ring issues and stuff, so if I could get a hold of her over in Japan, that would be outstanding. I know Tessa Blanchard's over there, and she comes back and forth. If I could get a hold of her, that would be cool. There's no specific woman in my mind, but I just look at Asuka tearing up NXT, and any woman that can stand toe to toe with her is a woman that I would love to get in the ring with. So that's definitely something that I would look forward to. And just the culture and like the experience of learning everything through a different scenario or someone else's eyes would be a great experience.
Well, I gotta tell you, I'm sure everybody listening will say the same thing, and I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, you know, that I wish you the best of luck on this journey, and you know, I really love hearing stories from all the different, you know, pro wrestlers that come on the show, you know, because every story, you know, is a little bit different, but every story has so much intrigue, and
right.
You know, like I said, wrestling is all about heart and determination. And just by the way, and I'm sure the fans will agree, just by the way I heard you talk about Japan with such passion and, you know, even determination, like that's where you want to go. Your heart really feels set on that. So I wish you the best of luck in getting there. And I have no doubt, sometime within 2018, I'm sure we'll be hearing something that Tess Valentine takes over Japan.
Yeah. And I'll be like standing in the background all bashful, like, stop it. There's no way that's going to be me.
But I'll tell you, I'm rooting for you. You definitely have a story that makes the fans want to get behind you. And,
thank you.
I'm rooting for you here. And I hope all the viewers and listeners, they feel the same way that I do.
Yes, hopefully. And hopefully that little birdie gets to AWS.
I hope so. I hope so. Now, I have something that I have every one of my guests do, you know, near the end of the show, because now that we know everything and what your future consists of, we went through your whole career, we pretty much covered it all. You did a great job here, and, now I want to turn the floor over to you if you have any scheduled dates, you know, coming up that you want to promote, anything with social media, a website, you know, anything of that nature. Feel free to promote it all now. The floor is yours. Go right ahead.
Like I said, tomorrow I'll be in Stevens, PA for Rogue Women's Warriors, and I will be there doing a seminar with Jazz, and I'll also be wrestling that. The 27th, I'll be Pro Wrestling Empire in Essen, Harrisburg, PA in the old Zimbo Shrine building. Also coming up, Elite Pro Wrestling Alliance, I'll be defending my title belt in a triple threat match with Danny DeVille and Casey Carlisle on June 9th at Frankfort High School. And I'm trying to see what else. I have that fire tournament coming up with a bunch of other women as well, and that's definitely something you should not miss. And I believe that's mostly all of it that I have on here. And also, I have my Twitter. I've been trying to grow it. So if you're listening, go follow me because I'm doing pretty good at growing it. But my Twitter handle is TessValentine90. And it's put basic things about my day, about my boring shoot job, about the gym, everything every indie wrestler basically posts. And then I also have my fan page, the Tess Valentine page. And I also have Instagram as well. So if you guys want to follow any of that or follow up with me, that would be amazing.
Perfect. And I know I'm already following you on all the outlets, and I'm definitely going to be keeping tabs on, you know, your career, and I wish you nothing but the best going forward.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I want to tell you, Tess, before I end up signing off with the live audience here, I enjoyed myself. I think this has been an incredible show. You have a great journey, you know, throughout, you know, your first 3 years in the business. And, like I always tell everybody, you know, and my audience, they like this too. You know, I've had a couple of follow-ups, and, you know, I just want to say, you know, when I have a guest on the show, it, you know, most podcasts, they do a one-off, you know, one-and-done type deal. I'm the type of, podcast or the type of host where, you know, I would love to have you back, you know, for an update on your incredible journey and to update the fans and, you know, everything with, you know, with what you have going on. And, if you would like, I would, love to have you back on a future episode, maybe near the end of the year or something like that, just to, you know, see what you've been up to, what things are looking like going into 2018 and how everything stands. I'd like to, make you a little part of the, Beyond the Ring with Big T family over here.
I'm looking forward to that. That means I'm just gonna have to work harder to tell you guys more crazy things that are happening in the Test Valentine life. Yeah, definitely. I'd be happy to get caught back up at the end of the year and hopefully, just going out and again making things. It pushes me in different areas. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure the fans are as well. And, I would definitely, keep in contact with you, and, hopefully we'll have you on down the road and have another great show. And hey, you never know. Maybe by the end of the year, you'll be like, hey, 2018's around the corner. Got word that I'm getting ready to go down to Japan.
Either that or I got word I'm booked at AWS, one or the other.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping you tell me, one or the other, you know, that AIW Girls Night Out, I think it comes in April every year, if I'm not mistaken. And, if you end up getting booked for that in 2018, that'll be something to look forward to as well, because I'll definitely try to get down there to pay you a visit personally.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, do you have any last words that you would like to say to, the fans before, I turn it over and, head on off here?
I just want to say that it's extremely appreciative as a worker that you have the fans and that they support what we do. Whether it's old school wrestling or new age wrestling or any type of wrestling, every single worker is putting their body on the line to entertain the fans, and I respect the fans for coming, and I love putting on a show for them, and I'm glad that they're loyal enough to come spend the time to support this crazy dream we all do, and I'm looking forward to show them amazing things in the upcoming months. So
awesome. And Tessa, I will tell you, and I'm sure I speak for the fans as well, when I say thank you, you know, thank you for your contribution to the pro wrestling business. Thank you for, you know, sacrificing your time and, you know, your time on the road, you know, a lot of, and you know, working a full-time job plus wrestling. So it's a lot of, you know, a lot of time in your life that you're taking up here. So thank you, you know, thank you for that, for working hard for us. And also thank you for working hard and putting your body on the line every single night just for the sake of our entertainment to go, you know, to an arena, pay for a ticket, sit down and be entertained and have a good time. Thank you, you know, for putting your body on the line for the sake of our entertainment.
It makes it all worth it.
And I'll tell you, it definitely goes appreciated. I know, and I mean it when I say it. And I'm sure I could speak for some fans out there when I look at what you guys do, and I know all the traveling and, you know, how hard it can be and all the bumps you take and all the bruises. And, you know, it definitely goes appreciated. I appreciate what all of you guys and gals do for all of us just to keep us entertained as fans. And I definitely, also appreciate you being here to give time out of your busy schedule to do this interview and to talk with all of us today.
I'm glad you guys had me.
Hey, more than happy to, Tess, and hang on the line for just 1 minute while I sign off here with the live audience, and then I'll come back on the line with you once I get off live, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, I'll be back with you in 1 minute, and ladies and gentlemen, for all of you listening live, I just want to say thank you for tuning in to episode number 57 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling podcast. And got to tell you, I hope you enjoyed it. And another big thank you to Tess Valentine for coming on the show. And I look forward to having her back on a future episode. And can't wait. Can't wait. So another big thank you to Tess Valentine for being here. But for Friday, May 19th, 2017, episode number 57 of the Beyond the Ring of Big T Wrestling podcast has concluded, and I will be back with you next week for episode number 58 of the Beyond the Ring of Big T Wrestling podcast. So believe me, we're going to stay busy here, but another big thank you to Tess Valentine for being on today's show. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in and for listening, and I will see you next week. Take care. I love you all. And good night, everybody.